Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Welcome back to the swamp, my friends. Today we're going to be reading some creepy and downright strange stories from viewers just like you. These stories aren't the typical kind of stories I would read on this channel. Normally I would read something more supernatural or natural, but these stories get sent in all the time and I feel like they're just going to waste. So this series has become a long-running one, with everyday, normal, scary stories. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp, and stories like yours that help keep this show going. Now, without further ado, grab your popcorn, grab your blankets, hit that like button, and enjoy these creepy as hell stories. So this is another true story that I have to share with you. This didn't happen to me personally, but it happened to one of my dad's best friends from work. So my dad's friend had a long-time friend that he grew up with in high school. Sadly, his friend had a son that was a knucklehead, to say the least. And after his friend gave him chance after chance, he decided to kick his son, who was in his early 20s, out of the house. My dad's friend had been seeing his friend's son roaming around, jumping from one place to another, with really no permanent place to stay. After a while, his friend's son came to his house and asked if he could stay for a little while. My dad's friend knew his friend's son was a knucklehead, but because he regarded him almost as a nephew, he decided to help him out and let him stay for a while. For a good 3 days, my dad's friend could go to work, leaving his friend's son to the comfort of his home. But after 3 days, his friend's son just up and left randomly. My dad's friend guessing that perhaps his friend's son just moved on and didn't think much about it. Well, one night he kept getting woken up by his 3 pit bulls barking like crazy for the majority of the night. He just tried to ignore them. After a while though, they kept barking, so finally he got up to tell them to shut up when he realized his window was open. My dad's friend then went to his bedside drawer to grab his gun when he realized it was nowhere to be found. He then stormed downstairs to find his dogs, found his friend's son in possession of his gun, and what ended up happening is this. The whole time while my dad's friend was going to work, his friend's son was planning a robbery and was scouting out his house. He scouted where he was going to make his entry, where he was going to make his exit, and what valuables he was going to take, and then he was going to leave and come back and do it several days later, so my dad's friend wouldn't suspect it to be him. While he was scouting, he found my dad's friend's pistol, and he took it to use it against my dad's friend if need be. For some reason, the dude didn't take into consideration my dad's friend's huge dogs. But this story tells us that we better be careful of who we call our friends and family. This incident didn't happen to me personally, but considering the fact that it happened to my mother makes this story just as chilling. Every now and then, my mother would drive about an hour and a half to North Dallas in Plano, Texas, to work with my granny. My granny works with houses. I think she furnishes model homes or something like that, but either way, both my mom and granny love that type of stuff. So every now and then, my granny would offer my mother to help her out. Well, this was one of those days, and considering that her commute is a total of 3 hours there and back, we usually don't expect to see her back until around midnight or so. But this night seemed a little off. It was somewhere around 3 in the morning, and my mom still hadn't made it back yet, and that made me just a little worried, because all the women in my family have had bad situational awareness in the past, and I'm not comfortable with them being out in the wee hours of the night because, for some reason, they find those hours to be the perfect time to be out and about, by themselves and in the hands of any potential creeps who are lurking around. Despite being worried, I ended up falling asleep, and I didn't see her until the next morning, when she was taking me to school, and that's when she told me the story of what happened. While my mom was coming home, she said that she had a sudden craving for lemon cookies, so she generously decided to stop at this sketchy gas station at 1 in the morning to run in and get some. When she came out, she found her car swarming with police cars, with 3 or 4 cops wrestling a man to the ground in handcuffs. My mom, being in shock, asked the cashier what had happened. The cashier stated that after my mom had parked in front of the gas station and went in, she saw a man trying to get in her car, and when he realized that my mom had locked her minivan, he decided to sit on the other side of the vehicle to where my mom wouldn't be able to see him. But when the cashier noticed the guy acting strangely, she immediately called the police. I then realized that my mother got away from a situation that could have gone downhill real quick. What if she didn't park in front of the gas station? What if she would have parked further away where they couldn't have seen her? What if the cashier just wasn't being vigilant and didn't even notice the dude? If those two things were slightly altered, I would have ended the story with my mom never coming home. After that, my dad and I demanded that my mother either takes one of our guns with her when she goes on these long trips, or to just stop working with my granny altogether. Considering the fact that my mom is not a gun person, she picked the latter choice. My dad keeps one of our pistols in his truck, and even though my mom won't admit it, she knows why. This story takes place in a small town called Leadville, Colorado in 1976. I was 5 years old, and yes, I had to get all the details from my parents as I do not personally remember all the details from my own memory. We had just relocated there from Texas. We needed a place to rent, and my parents found a mobile home on the outskirts of town. We would be renting it from an older woman and her adult, albeit creepy, son. We quickly got moved in, went and bought groceries, and began our new life. It was not even a full week till we had come home from a day out. My dad was job hunting, and we were also trying to do a little sightseeing, so my mom and I would tag along with him. It was starting to get late, and my mom noticed that the lock to the front door was not locked. She was always vigilant about locking doors, never leaving windows open, etc. It was not like her to accidentally not lock a door. Apparently, though, my dad just dismissed this as a mistake on their part, and not that someone had let themselves in. Upon inspection of the trailer, nothing seemed to have been stolen, and everything looked to be in order. My mom began to set about making us dinner. She had poured herself and me a nice glass of orange juice, of which I had yet to take a sip of, because I guess I was distracted by something else. She then poured out some milk as well, maybe to mash the potatoes with. She was unsure, but when she poured the milk, it looked curdled and not right. This whole time, she had been drinking her juice, and that is when she noticed some sort of dizzy and, you know, not feeling well kind of feeling. She then grabbed the glass she poured me and tossed it into the sink. She yelled to my dad that something was wrong and she felt bad and they should go to the hospital quickly. We got in our van and drove off. I do very vaguely remember her seeming to sort of fade in and out of consciousness. I remember being upset and I was crying some. We got to the emergency room. She had enough strength to say she believed she had been poisoned, and then they took her off to where they pumped her stomach. As my mom was getting evaluated to see if she could be released, and Dad was filling out paperwork, the nurse asked for their address. When my dad gave the trailer address to the lady, this look of shock and horror came on her face. She then advised my parents to try and move as soon as possible, because everyone in town had bad feelings about the woman and her son. There had been missing people that had passed through the town and potentially rented from those people never to be seen again. Apparently, there was never enough evidence to show any wrongdoing, but the townsfolk felt like they were very responsible. There was no toxicology done, as this was 1976, but she feels strongly that someone had tampered with our food in the fridge. When we returned, my dad said that the man we had rented from was outside of the trailer, just looking our way. And keep in mind, by now it would have been the wee hours of the morning. My dad said he grabbed a change of clothes for all of us and loaded the van. The guy walked over as my dad was loading up. He had a rifle. He said something about skunks or something like that. My dad said that we would be coming back tomorrow to get the rest of our stuff and we were no longer renting. My dad said the guy looked very angry. My dad said that he and my mom decided to move into town rather than be as far as we were. We were only about 15 minutes outside of town. The guy then looked inside the van, commented on me and my mom asleep, then said he would not be returning their rent or deposit. My dad said, fine, whatever, and then got out of there and drove us to a motel for the remainder of the night. We went back the next day and it was obvious that they had gone through all of our stuff. The door was again left unlocked. Nothing was stolen but clearly had been looked through. My parents threw all the groceries they had purchased out and gathered our stuff and we left out of there. The 70s were full of drifters, hitchhikers, and hippies who I guess go missing and are not missed, but I think we got lucky that nothing worse happened than what did. Well, I'm not sure if this story is scary, although it happened to my father when I was around 8 years old. I'm 40 now and my dad is no longer with us, unfortunately. Growing up, we had to move a lot due to the fact that my dad worked construction and had to follow work. Well, one job took us to Arkansas City, where the only place we could find to rent was in the middle of the sticks where my four brothers and I played on acres upon acres of woods. My dad was always up between 3 to 3:30 a.m. After about a month of moving into the house, my dad got up and went downstairs to make his morning coffee. Now, remember, this is taking place around 3 a.m. Well, as my dad's head turns towards the kitchen, he told us he heard some movement. He continued into the kitchen and then let out a blood-curdling scream. My dad wasn't the kind of guy to spook easy. Well, his scream wakes up everyone in the house. Freaking out, we all run downstairs to see what the heck is going on. My dad is standing there as white as a ghost. In front of him on the floor was one of my mom's nightgowns. My mother and all five of us boys were trying to figure out what scared the man that we thought would never get so scared. After we get him calmed down, he tells us what he had seen. Now, I kid you not, you will laugh. I know I did, but my dad swears to us, when he walked into the kitchen, he had seen a cow in my mom's nightgown. Yes, you read that correctly. Well, a week later, we found out that the house we moved into had actually been an old slaughterhouse. Yes, as I got older, my dad got hell about this ghostly encounter. But we couldn't lie. It did kind of make sense. And I don't think my dad would have ever made that up. I figured I'd get my dad's story out there, and thank you for your time. We wanted to have a good time together, my girlfriend and I. You see, she's a nurse and has to work the night shift. The hospital she works at requires about 5 years of experience before you can even think about working on the day shift. This wouldn't be such a problem, but I work as a marketer. I have a typical 9-to-5 in an office and it's really tough finding time for each other. Our sleep schedules are chaotic, to say the least. So, when Valentine's Day rolled around on a day and night that we were both working, we got really frustrated. It's really hard to explain how you feel like you're being cheated at a time. Like, there isn't going to be a moment you can sit down and truly enjoy your relationship for what it is. But we decided that we weren't going to let our lame schedules get the best of us. We decided that we'd visit a city for a weekend, away. Valentine's Day fell on a Thursday, but we figured having a little trip that weekend would be the next best thing, maybe even better. She's been really adamant about visiting Oak Ridge in Tennessee. Her grandfather worked there back in the day, and it's always been an interest of her. She's always telling me these facts about how creepy it is and how she just has to go one day. It's roughly an 8-hour drive from where we live, so we made a deal about driving. I was going to drive the entire way there, and she was going to drive while we were actually in the city. She totally got a good deal of the bargain, but that's just what you do when you care for your girlfriend. But something strange happened, something that has tainted my memory ever since then. When I think back and remember that weekend away, I'm not thinking about us cuddling up on the couch or any of the fun places we got to visit there either. We got there Friday night. She mostly slept in the car, but still felt really tired. She told me she'd be able to sleep at night once we got there, and be awake and be normal for the next day. So that's just what we did, and it was a really good day. We got to visit a museum and learn all about the Manhattan Project. Even got to visit a plant where her grandfather used to work. At least, we're pretty sure it's the one he worked at. He's deceased now, so no real way of telling. But the tour guide said this was where the majority of them worked when the bombs were done. And well, I guess he worked on the bombs. Anyway, the day was great, but it didn't last very long. By the time it was dark, we were out of ideas for things to do and quite frankly out of energy. We decided to visit our favorite fast food joint, Wendy's. Don't judge us. And she was driving as we made our way there. It was only 10 or 15 minutes away from where we were. She had her music on and I was just kind of looking out the window. At one point, a blue Mustang was beside our car. We were stopped at a red light, and I looked out the window and peered into theirs. I saw a very old man. He looked unhappy, miserable even. His skin looked unnaturally pale, but I'm not sure when he started, but he was staring at me. It wasn't until I looked into the car that I noticed it either. Not gonna lie, kinda freaked me out. We made eye contact for about 5 seconds, and then for the briefest of moments, he smiled. But it was so fast. It must have been a split second that his mouth went into a smile and then back into a frown. It was the strangest thing I've ever seen. I looked over at my girlfriend, and she hadn't noticed at all. She was jamming out to Bohemian Rhapsody. The light turned green, and we were in motion again. I didn't take my eyes off that car for the rest of the ride, at least until they turned. That's not the craziest part. You see, it gets even weirder. We were planning on leaving Monday morning, and on Sunday night, we went out to eat, but this time to an actual restaurant. We weren't feeling fast food again. We looked on Google and found a local restaurant that had pretty decent reviews. I had my favorite food, deep fried chicken. So off we went. I had completely forgotten about that strange man I saw in that car, but about halfway through my meal, I noticed him again. This time though, he was in the restaurant. He was staring at me. I know he was. And when I noticed, he did the same exact facial movement. Just the way I remembered. He went from a miserable frown to a split-second smile. And then he was back to frowning in just an instant. I'm not entirely sure my reaction was warranted. He hadn't actually done anything wrong to me, and I was enjoying a nice meal with my girlfriend. This is why it was so strange for my fight-or-flight instinct to kick in. I went up and confronted him. He was sitting at a booth alone. I asked him why he was looking at me. To my absolute surprise, he never said a word. Just sat there and frowned at me. I asked him what his problem was before my girlfriend told me it was time, and we headed home. She knows I can get a little worked up and wanted to avoid some sort of confrontation. It's not illegal to look at people, she said. Still though, it was something about that man that made me feel so strange, so watched. Well, Monday morning came. We were about an hour into the car ride, and she was asleep again. And you guessed it, You totally guessed it. I saw this freaky old man again. But this time, it was way worse. For starters, he was driving a totally different car. I don't know what this guy's life is like, but I can just imagine what you have to do to be able to afford a Mustang and still have enough money to have a second car. And to make matters even worse, he had been in the left lane as he was going to pass me, but he didn't. He just placed me for about a mile. I noticed that there was a car next to me. It wasn't until I looked over to flip the bird that I recognized him. It was a creepy old man, but he wasn't frowning anymore. That smile that he'd been able to muster for a split second was now permanently stained on his aged face. It was the most terrifying thing I've ever seen in my life. Suddenly, he turns his head forward and aggressively veers his car in my direction. Reflexively, I slam the brakes and swerve off to the side of the road. My girlfriend is shaken awake, and all we can see is a vehicle speeding off in the distance through a cloud of dirt. My heart was racing like crazy, and by the time I could process my girlfriend screaming, asking what's going on, I started to feel myself choke up. We discussed whether or not we should waste our time calling the police, but I was so scared. The best possible course of action seemed to be just to get the hell out of that godforsaken town as fast as possible. The rest of the ride home happened without incident, and I haven't seen him since. Needless to say, that was the least romantic and most insane Valentine's Day I have ever had. Let me start by saying that I am now a 40-something mother of three, and this event happened when I was 14. I grew up in the suburbs of Columbus, Ohio, but when it came time to start high school, rather than going to a nice school in walking distance, I was bused to West High School, in a less than safe part of Columbus. Anyone from this area will know that it is slightly not great. One day in my 14-year-old wisdom, I decided I wasn't having it, and decided to cut the rest of the day and walk home. Yeah, a really smart choice. Everything was going well, and as I was walking through Westgate Park, about halfway home at this point, I started getting a creepy feeling like someone was watching me. And sure enough, I turned to look over my shoulder and two rough-looking men go rolling by me in an older white van. They continue past and I think it's creepy, but at least they're leaving. Or at least I thought. I continue on my way, and not long after, I'm getting a creepy feeling once again, and I look over my shoulder to see the same van further up on the road, and now I only see the driver crawling down the road. I'm getting serious alarm bells now, and looking ahead, I see a yellow cab idling at the end of the sidewalk, and though it felt like it was all happening in slow motion, surely it was only seconds. I decided that the old man in the cab was a slightly less terrifying option and proceeded to take off running faster than I ever have in my short life. As I'm running towards the cab, he rolls his window down and screams at me to run faster, and look over my shoulder to see the van is almost beside me, and the reason I couldn't see the passenger is that he was at the sliding door, leaning out. I gave my feet wings and make it to the cab. The cab driver asks me my address and takes me home free of charge and tells me to make better choices. What I never understood is why a yellow cab was sitting there at 10 a.m. in a place where frankly I'd never seen one before, and never after again. Had he not been there, I'm not sure I would be here today. This happened to me and my older sister a couple of years ago on Halloween. I was probably 15 and she was 18, but she was a lot smaller than me, so we both looked 12. We were trick-or-treating with my dad in a nicer area, or so we thought. He told us he had to run to the car that was about a block or so over, and that we should meet him there when we finished hitting the houses on the street. So, he left and we continued getting candy. It was getting closer to the end of the night, and there were barely any more kids at this point, so we started to head back to the car, which was like 2 blocks away, so it was not a far walk. We ended up on a street with almost nobody on it, and were chatting about how dark and scary it was, when I noticed two guys, one in a ghillie suit and one in a black skeleton costume. They were following us, only a couple of yards back. I told her, and she looked and grabbed onto me tight. At first, we were just kind of creeped out and awkwardly laughing it off and joking. They started to walk closer, and were breathing heavily, and started to gain on us, but we didn't take it completely seriously. Not until our dad came stomping up from behind them, and they both ran in opposite directions, darting into people's backyards and running away into the darkness. We don't know what those guys were planning, but it was not fun or games. They definitely had sinister intentions. I'm so thankful my dad came back to get us. I don't know what would have happened to us otherwise. So this isn't like a paranormal story, but it's the only thing in my life that still haunts me. I was around 20, out hunting with my dad and our dogs. We were just strolling along this path when one of the dogs starts barking its head off. We assumed it had found us a moose. The dog's barking came closer, and with it came heavy steps, and we realized the dog was being chased. We weren't worried though, just the sight of humans is usually enough to scare off whatever. But we were still ready to protect ourselves. It wasn't an elk or anything we'd seen around for a long time. It was a big, fat mama brown bear charging for the dog. I assume a mama because no bear in its right mind except for moms with cubs would go after humans. As it was my dog, it came straight for me. We started shouting and making ourselves big, but it didn't stop. This thing rammed into me and got to mauling. If you're wondering, backing away slowly doesn't really stop a charging bear from attacking. It's too late for that. So, we did what instinct said. I only remember the heavy pressure on my chest and the dog barking until my dad got in a good shot, which sent the bear running back. I got scratched up over my chest and had a few broken ribs, but if my dad wouldn't have been there, I would have been dead. I still feel a little worried when I go out hunting, but I love the lifestyle so much that I'd never quit. First, I should give you some background. I'm a Marine Corps veteran. I got out because of medical reasons. I was also diagnosed with PTSD. I have never been in combat, but I experienced an event in combat training that happened to me while I was sleeping. This event I considered hazing, and it was done to me by my own unit. Since this event, I have had trouble sleeping, staying asleep, and have had terrible nightmares. Okay. So now for what happened. This happened back in 2015, 2 years after I'd gotten out of the military. For a whole month, I had been missing work because of medication from my PTSD had been stopping me. This caused me agonizing anxiety throughout my days and nightmares and flashbacks of what happened to me in combat training. Another thing to note, we always keep the hallway light on and my door is always open so my cats can roam around the house. One night I kept having nightmares of different people breaking into my house. From what I can remember, I had three different nightmares of three separate individuals breaking into my home. After the third nightmare, I woke up to the dark figure in my third nightmare standing in my doorway. I tried to scream, "Hey, who the heck are you?" But nothing would come out. It was like I was just screaming inside of my own head. This is when I decided to get up and murder this stranger, but that is when I realized that I could not move. My anger quickly became utter fear when I realized that I was completely defenseless and tears started to stream down my face. The figure just stood in the doorway not moving and not saying a thing. When I blinked, the figure disappeared and I was able to move again. I sat up in bed and cried. I didn't sleep for the rest of the night. I got my medication changed as soon as possible after that night. I have since had my PTSD under control again, and I am back at work. Even though I still struggle with sleep, I haven't had an episode of sleep paralysis or whatever that was ever since. Roughly about a year or two ago, I lived in an apartment complex, which basically means a bunch of tiny homes smushed together, but not on top of each other. Since the way the rent was done, there were some shady people around there. We had a wireless security system, and even caught what was thought to be the creepy maintenance man resetting it. Anyways, this isn't about him. This is about another time I probably would have gotten kidnapped if I didn't do what I did. I went out to the mail one day. The mailbox is placed in the middle of the sidewalk beside the apartments, so it's not in a building like per usual. I open my box and grab the stuff in there and turn around to notice a man sitting in his car right in front of our apartment, watching me. I thought I was being paranoid, so I start walking back home. He got out of his car and leaned on it. Once I passed him, he asked, "Hey, can you help me for a second?" I bluntly say no and speed up, and even though he was clearly frustrated, I got into my apartment, and after locking the door, I looked out my front window. I saw him slam his car door and speed off out of the parking space. He didn't need any help, to say the least. This story may not be as scary as a lot out there, but it's something that most can relate to of what could have happened. And always be careful, you know, you can't trust people these days. Thanks for listening to these creepy and downright strange stories sent in by viewers just like you. If you enjoyed these stories, please be sure to hit that like button, as it really does help me out a ton. If you're new to the swamp, why not join us? Subscribe and turn on notifications to never miss a new video. I upload them almost every single day, and all things natural and supernatural. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, be sure to submit your story at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that help keep this show going. If you're not aware, you can download your favorite Swamp Dweller scary stories on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and just about everywhere else you listen to podcasts. Thank you guys, as always, for supporting the swamp the way you do. I really couldn't be pumping out these videos every day for you guys without ya. I hope you guys are all being safe during this coronavirus scare, and please be sure to not go out anywhere and to try to isolate yourself as much as possible. I'm going to be uploading as much as I can to keep you guys entertained. Once again, stay safe, thank you for the support, and I'll see you again soon with another creepy video.